Welcome to the Cybersecurity Defenders Podcast, episode number 203. My name is Christopher Luft. I'm one of the co-founders of Lima Charlie, and I will be your host. On today's episode, we speak with Jen Van Antwerp, the founder of Sober and Cyber. My guest today is Jen Van Antwerp, a cybersecurity marketing professional and the founder of Sober and Cyber, a nonprofit on a mission to provide alcohol-free events and community-building opportunities for sober and sober-curious individuals working in InfoSec. Jen is passionate about breaking the stigma of addiction recovery and is profoundly driven to increase the number of professional networking events that don't involve or revolve around alcohol. She's also the founder of JVan Consulting, where she provides marketing consultation services to cybersecurity startups. Jen, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. It's a real honor to have you.
I am very excited to be here, not just because I'm excited to be on your podcast, but also because it's nice to just hang out with you again. I haven't seen you since the Cybersecurity Cares Telethon in December. So it's good to see you. Hello.
Yeah, you're definitely one of my new favorite people. I love running into folks in this industry that, I mean, I think everybody cares, but people that kind of go out of their way to give back to the community and try and move the needle where the needle needs to be moved,
yep.
You know?
Yep, absolutely.
So when I start these podcasts, I'm always mostly curious at the beginning to learn about where people came from. How did you end up in cybersecurity? Where did your interest in technology start? How did you end up doing these crazy things that we do?
It was a balmy day. It was a Tuesday. No. So I've been in marketing now for a little over 2 decades. And I first met my husband when we both worked in the automotive industry. And he started to shift over towards security a little bit before I did. So he's been in security for a long, long time. And I shifted from automotive over to healthcare. And he kept telling me, like, I think you would really like this. You should apply for this. You'd do really well. And I kept fighting, saying, no, I love healthcare. I went to the RSA conference with him in 2016 and walked the exhibit hall floor and first was massively overwhelmed because just the extra everything of RSA.
Mostly the acronyms though, right?
Gosh, it was definitely overwhelming. But then I started talking to some of the people at the booths and I would ask them, I led with, you know, I work in marketing. I'm thinking about shifting over to this industry. What do you like about your marketing? What do you hate about it? And I wanted to lead with that because I wanted to give them an out because I'm not a prospect. I wanted to make sure they knew, like, hey, you can scan my badge if you want, but I'm not buying anything. So I wanted to give them permission to basically just, you know, shoo me along. Not a single person did. Every single person that I spoke with. Maybe it's because I asked them what they hated about marketing. Maybe that was my mistake. But it's good to know that too. But every single person gave me, you know, a ton of their time. A lot of folks wanted to connect with me on LinkedIn. They were sending me different job opportunities. And some of those folks I'm still in contact with to this day. And that was back in 2016. So honestly, it was the people. And then I had to tell my husband that he was right. That was probably the dumbest thing of all. But once I started working in this industry and really becoming part of this community, I just fell in love. The missions are so critical and so powerful. The people are so cool. I mean, the hobbies that some of the people in this industry have are just amazing. Everyone has like layers upon layers. And having worked in automotive and healthcare and now in cybersecurity, you can find amazing people wherever you go. But I might be a little bit biased now, but I really do feel like we have very passionate people who have, you know, they geek out on the most interesting stuff. There's never a shortage of things to talk about.
Yeah, I was just watching software-defined radio networking videos while me and Jen were figuring out our technical issues at the beginning of this conversation.
My technical issue. My husband was, I think, testing some PCAP files. So I was telling Chris that's the one, you know, a lot of good benefits to working in the same industries, but sometimes we have, you know, network issues because we're playing with PCAPs.
And definitely a lot of great nerds in this industry.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of my foray into security. I've, you know, worked for some different organizations and then consulting for a while. And the whole time, I got sober 24 years ago. And so I've been sober while I've worked in different industries and while I've been to a lot of different networking events. And the industries are pretty different, but the networking events are all like almost exactly the same. It's usually, you know, open bar or a whiskey tasting or a wine pairing or different things like that. And I don't fault people for that. I think there's plenty of room for that in like all industries, but I've figured out different ways to navigate that. And there are times when I just don't go to those events because I just wasn't really feeling super secure in my own sobriety at that moment. And I didn't want to put myself in that situation where I might be tempted. And the more I thought about it, I realized that kind of sucks because when I go to these events, there are so many great opportunities to connect with other people, potential career development opportunities that I potentially might have missed. I joke that the close of a deal might start at the booth, but it, you know, finalizes at the bar a lot of times. So a lot of times if you're not participating in those extracurricular activities, you're potentially missing out on a lot of opportunities to really grow your own career. So about a year and a half ago, I decided to start throwing these different networking events. I'd thought about it a long time, over-ruminated and over-analyzed, and then just decided, okay, I'm just going to start throwing the kinds of events that as a sober person, I always wanted to go to. And the response to it has been overwhelmingly positive. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. I think that's really the reason I wanted to reach out to you and have you on the podcast was to talk about Sober and Cyber, which is this organization you've started to address this issue. And I really feel you when you talk about this, you know, starts in the boardroom, ends in the bar, because by the numbers, I don't think I have a problem with alcohol, but I often reflect on how often these conference trips and the business side of this industry involve these open bar events, and it's all sort of centered around alcohol, which I think we could extrapolate and talk about our society at a larger scale, but it's really hard to get away from that. And so, yeah, I guess your sobriety inspired you to start this, the fact that you weren't able to go to these?
Yes. Selfishly, I wanted to throw the parties that I always wanted to go to as a sober person that I just didn't really see happening very much in the industry. And then it's just morphed into so many more things. Yes, we do have the in-person events that are open to everyone, and they are so much fun. But we also have a Discord community. So our Discord server is more for folks who are like in recovery or sober or alcohol free within our industry. That way they can maintain whatever level of anonymity they want to have and still have the resources, the support, and just, you know, sharing pet pictures and memes and all the fun stuff that one does on a Discord server. I, you know, participate in different podcasts and speaking engagements just to raise awareness and education about, you know, what it's like in my shoes specifically, because I can't speak for all folks who choose not to drink, but I can talk about what it's been like from my perspective, navigating these different social events and hopefully just, you know, spark a little idea. And I've definitely seen it happen in folks where they just choose to even have, if they don't want to have a fully dry event, they can have maybe a mocktail or some kind of a fun alternative option or an activity that's the main central, like focal point of their extracurricular activity, just something other than just yet another open bar. Because with the creative geeks that we have in this industry, there are way cooler things that I'm sure that we can all think of if we put our minds to it. That's not just another open bar that we've all seen and, you know, and participated in time and time again.
And how's the reception been? Has it been very successful?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been overwhelmingly positive. There have been a few folks who have been like, oh, Sober and Cyber, good luck with that. Which just makes me laugh because I'm like, well, I've been doing it and it's going pretty well so far. But I think honestly, they're just like, oh, you know, a little trepidatious because they don't see how it's possible because we're in a very high stakes, high stress type of an industry. And there are a lot of folks who do turn to substances to try to help, you know, alleviate that. So I think it's just in jest that some folks kind of crack jokes about it. But otherwise, the support from the community has been phenomenal. We've had just, you know, tons of people at our in-person events. The Discord community is growing a little bit slower because I honestly don't really talk about that one too much. I mostly focus on the in-person events because I want everyone from every walk of life to be able to come to an alcohol-free event, see how much fun it can be, and realize like, okay, even if I'm not a sober person or someone who doesn't drink, say I'm in Vegas during Hacker Summer Camp and I have, you know, three other events to go to tonight, I know that at this one, I'm not going to feel any pressure to drink, because there are a lot of folks who don't have any intention to, you know, get hammered by the end of the day on a work day. But during RSA and, you know, Black Hat and some of the larger security conferences, you might have three or four different events that you need to pop in, be seen at, make some connections, and then leave. And if you're having an alcoholic beverage at every single one of those, it really starts to add up. And then in Vegas, in the heat of summer, by, you know, the end of day four or five, you just feel like dried up from the inside out. So the Sober and Cyber events are an opportunity for everyone and anyone to come and just still participate in that networking, making those connections with zero pressure to drink.
Yeah, you make a good point there too. I think we all go to these events with the intention of, you know, getting up early and going to the gym and not ordering the burger and eating the salad.
I've packed my gym clothes so many times with the best of intentions.
Yeah, and then the events are really centered around alcohol, and it's really hard. Again, you've had this hard, stressful day. Your flight was delayed. You were at the booth early. You got in an argument with somebody or whatever the thing that happened, and you're feeling stressed out, and you go to this event that's free drinks, and, you know, the person that you're trying to close a deal with is offering you a beer. It's probably the worst environment in the world to exercise self-control, and it's hard to get away from.
Well, and it's challenging too, because a lot of folks, myself included, have some social anxiety issues that they're also dealing with. Like, I'm a complete and utter extrovert, but I still have some social anxiety. And when you pair that with you're traveling, so we're already fairly dehydrated and not taking great care of ourselves, you know, physically. So you've got the, you know, any social anxieties rising up. There are folks who maybe have never been to a large conference before or don't enjoy being around significant numbers of people. And then you go to this open bar and everything's free and people are just handing you stuff. It definitely starts to snowball.
Yeah. And cybersecurity professionals often work long hours and deal with high stakes scenarios. I definitely think mental health is something that gets talked about a little, but probably not enough.
Yeah, not enough. I actually did bring some stats, speaking of nerds.
Oh, great. Yes.
So Times did a mental health and cybersecurity survey. It was middle of 2022, but I think the numbers are still pretty relevant. And it showed that 66% of the security professionals that they surveyed said that they experienced significant levels of stress on the job. And that was 66% of the, you know, I think it was like over 1,000 folks that they had surveyed. And I guarantee that that number has not gone down recently. And then their other stat that really, really stood out to me was that close to 19% of the people that they surveyed had more than three alcoholic beverages every single day.
Every day, like Monday through Sunday. Wow.
Every single day. Yep. That wasn't just at conference. That wasn't just on the weekends. It was every single day. So that was like one in five of us are drinking, you know, three isn't heavily drinking, but it's still like every single day.
It's an unhealthy level. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great. It's just a different way that people sometimes use to cope. So I think having some alternative options out there, just talking about it more, is definitely helpful.
Yeah. My wife's a counselor, and she actually sent me a podcast. Maybe I'll link it in the show notes. And it was just talking about dopamine regulation and how alcohol eventually changes what baseline looks like for our brains. And so maybe you're going to a bunch of conferences and you're drinking a bunch and your brain starts to get used to like a high level of dopamine because your systems are always trying to balance themselves out. You kind of get this pushback response from the other side of your brain to counter the dopamine surge. And then what happens when you stop drinking is the dopamine levels aren't matching the counter push. And so your body starts to seek to re-level that system. And so you go seek alcohol, and that's where the dependency starts. And so they really recommend doing like a 30-day fast from alcohol. They call it a dopamine fast. And it takes 30 days for your brain to reset to those levels. And if you can get through that 30 days, it's a really good place to get to reevaluate your relationship with alcohol and stuff like that. So again, I'm not calling anybody out on their habits or how they choose to use alcohol. But if you do find yourself questioning your relationship with alcohol, it might be good to make a plan and try that 30-day sprint and view it like a sprint. You know, this, you're not making any commitment to some major life change, but do the 30 days and find out how you're feeling at the end and then take a look.
I'm a big fan of that too. You know, in security, we talk all the time about, you know, logging and monitoring. And a lot of times we forget to do that for ourselves. We're like so focused on everything else that we forget to really get introspective and think about what we're putting into our own like internal systems and how that affects us. I'm a big fan of the whole like, they've got the dry January, dry July, sober October, whatever the hell. I don't care what month it is. I don't care what 30-day period. You can start at the middle of the month, whenever. But like you said, give yourself a chance just to see what it feels like, log it, monitor it, and then, you know, make your own decisions. I mean, there are folks who do have, you know, stronger, more extreme cases where it is, I know for me, speaking for myself personally, I can't partake in any substances whatsoever. Now, having been sober for 24 years, you know, scientifically and physically, I don't think a single sip of alcohol would cause me to spiral into oblivion. But getting sober was one of the first things that I ever did where I could say I was really and truly proud of myself to the core of my being. And I don't want to mess that up. And so more than anything, that's kind of what keeps me sober and keeps me going is just that thought of like, no, I know that, you know, that's not the choice that I want to make today. That's not the choice I want to make this exact moment. That whole like one day at a time thing really is helpful because if you try to think of it across all of the future, there's no way when I first stopped drinking that I ever thought I would still be sober 24 years later. Like I was just in a lot of pain and making a choice that I thought was the only one I could make in order to stay alive. There's no way I ever would have thought like if I get sober now, that means I'm going to be sober for over 2 decades. It would have scared the crap out of me. But just thinking about it like one choice at a time was really, really helpful for me.
Yeah, I find it really interesting too, in a strange way, how alcohol's glamorized so much. Scotch, especially in certain levels of our industry, there's this whole culture around.
Maybe
like,
think of Anchorman, Scotch, Scotch, Scotch.
Do you remember the first time you tasted Scotch?
It was a long time ago. I don't. I was the type that was like, whatever would get me from point A to point B, and point B was complete oblivion. So I didn't care what it tasted like.
Okay, because you have to work hard to like Scotch, right? And like once you get there, I can see the thing, but there's no way you accidentally take a sip of Scotch and you're hooked. Like, there's a process.
This is delightful. This is just delightful.
It's like drinking fuel. And I mean, contrasting to that, do you believe that the cybersecurity industry is evolving to be more inclusive of sober professionals? That culture of drinking, do you think it's changing or is it still a fight against that?
I have definitely seen a trend, and this is across multiple industries, honestly, and from a lot of friends that I've spoken with. It feels like in 2020, when we had all the lockdowns, everyone was struggling and people were dealing with those struggles in different ways. A lot of people lost their lives and a lot of people went to like deep, deep, dark pits of really, really painful places. And then when we started to come out of that a bit, I think people had this new realization of like, oh dear God, I do not ever want to get to that place of darkness ever again. And that was, I'd say like 2021, 2022 was when I started to see more zero proof and low proof options starting to hit the market. So I don't know if it was like chicken or the egg. I don't know if the beverage companies started to promote them first and they became more available and more people started drinking them and realizing, oh, some of these are pretty good. Or if it came from consumers demanding it first. Like I've been demanding and asking for it forever. I love going to, you know, craft breweries. And I just used to dream about the day when they'd have, you know, something special that was alcohol free just for me. And now we've got tons and tons of options. So I really did start to feel like the tide started to shift. And I will say that in cybersecurity, people are typically I haven't really felt a lot of pressure in this industry. There are some of the roles that I think are a little more challenging. I feel like CISOs and in sales, like folks on those types of roles and positions, I think because there has been so much like just alcohol infused events and camaraderie and bonding, and it's been so embedded specifically in those roles, especially that I think it's going to take a little bit longer for those to kind of shake it off. But otherwise, I definitely feel like it's been, you know, more inclusive. I'm starting to see a heck of a lot more mocktails all over the place, which is awesome.
Yeah. And so beyond mocktails, are there ways that event organizers or people sponsoring events are there things that they can do or be thinking about to make more inclusive spaces for those people that don't drink?
Yes. Yes. So any types of activities. I've been to, you know, lockpicking events or things where they'll have something, you know, even if it's at a bar, it's not, that's not the only thing. There's other, you know, types of activities or things going on. And the biggest thing that event organizers can do is if you are planning on having some alternative options, make sure you talk about that ahead of time. You know, put it in print or on your website or in the emails. Make sure that folks know about it. And then make sure that the signage at the event is pretty clear about, you know, where to find alcohol-free options. And for crying out loud, if you're going to have, you know, only one place to get water, that's just terrible. I hate waiting in line at the bar for like 20 minutes just to get a glass of water. So maybe think about having the alcohol-free options, you know, separately from the bar so that that way people who aren't going to be drinking, you know, don't have to wait as long. But talking about it ahead of time lets, you know, people like me or in my position know as we're seeing your advertisements and your promotions, like, oh, crap, they actually thought about us. That is awesome. I know that I can go to this event. I'm not just going to go back up to my hotel room. I'm going to go down there because I know that, you know, there's going to be something there for me. And while, like I said, I've found different ways to navigate, like always have an alcohol-free beverage in your hand. That way less people are likely to, you know, just try to bring you stuff or ask you, oh, what you drinking? What you drinking? And you don't have to explain yourself over and over again. There are different tips and tricks that you can do. But as an event organizer, thinking about it early in your planning stages is always going to be helpful rather than as an afterthought or worst case, you know, when you're reading the surveys after the fact. Hearing from people that like, oh, you really should have had some other options. Just make it part of the planning process ahead of time and then share what you're doing publicly.
And I really love the having the non-alcoholic options separate from having to go get bar service, because I know the events that we host sometimes, it's such a struggle to get the bartender's attention. And if you're going through all that, oh, I'm just going to have a beer, or whatever the thing is you're drinking, whereas somebody who's maybe not trying to be completely sober even would choose to go grab a bottle of water out of a bucket that's on the side versus going and having another drink. You know, in sober circles and stuff, we talk a lot about harm reduction, which that's a real in practice form of, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So yeah, it's helpful not having to wait in line. But then the cool thing is that I've noticed that a lot of times if I'm ordering an alcohol-free beverage, maybe I'm like at this dinner table for an event and they started taking orders maybe with me instead of other folks, then other people are like, oh yeah, you know what? I'll have the mocktail too. Or I'll have a sparkling water with cranberry juice. That sounds really good. It's almost like it takes the curse off of, you know, not ordering an alcoholic beverage when you're not the first person doing it.
Yeah. And we're very social animals.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We do monkey see, monkey do, right?
Yep. Yes. Yes, we do.
Are there any other organizations or resources you'd recommend for cybersecurity professionals that are maybe struggling with alcohol or just reevaluating the relationship with alcohol?
Yeah, there are so many different pathways to sobriety. You've got 12-step programs, Smart Recovery. I mean, there are tons of different organizations. And as far as like mental health specific to security, there is Mental Health Hackers is a great organization. Yes, Mind Over Cyber.
I'm talking to Amanda Berlin very shortly. So
I love her.
We will have Mental Health Hackers on the show in very short order after this conversation.
Yes. So. Oh, they're so rad. Yeah. They're so rad. We've been, you know, pairing up on doing a bunch of other stuff. I've also worked with Mind Over Cyber. They're a great organization as well. And, oh gosh, I cannot remember the name of the third one. But we do have some different, you know, specific to the security industry. We have some different organizations that are focused on, you know, mental health, mental wellness in general. And I feel like there's, you know, there's definitely space for a lot more. So, you know, if there's something that you feel this industry needs, particular to like recovery or mental health, you know, if you're passionate about it, start it. There's plenty of space. There's like, it's not competition. Everything kind of lifts each other up and we can all work together.
Mm-hmm. And it's also like another type of networking for people who are thinking about, you know, how to grow their careers and maybe, yeah, drinking scotch with a CISO isn't your path, but maybe working on some of these community events that sort of help other people and give back. It's a great way to build your network. Yeah.
Yes. On our Sober and Cyber Discord, we have, I try to do it once a month, but I haven't been great about it lately, but we do called a happiest hour instead of a happy hour. So it's a just like a 1 hour hangout session. We're talking about maybe doing some gaming together, some like virtual gaming together. We've done a paint and sip party. We actually did that with Mental Health Hackers, where everybody had, you know, their own alcohol-free beverages, and we painted some cute stuff. I had a little dinosaur that I painted. I can't remember where I put him. But yeah, there's just a lot of fun, you know, community building and networking things that you can do there.
So for anybody interested in learning more about Sober and Cyber, it's probably the Discord, and I can link that in the show notes. Is there other avenues where they can find you?
Yes, yeah, so it's a good to the website is soberandcyber.org. We have an email newsletter that I put out right now. It's once a quarter, but I'd like to start doing it once per month. We just shifted over to a new like email platform that's going to make it much, much easier. So sign up for the newsletter to see when we're going to be having some different like alcohol-free events or mocktails that we've sponsored. You could also follow us on social media. I myself, I'm probably most active on LinkedIn, and Sober and Cyber, we have our own profiles on, I think, LinkedIn, Mastodon, Twitter/X, and I think I signed up for Blue Sky and Facebook. I need to get better at posting everything. One of my goals for 2025 is to, you know, start organizing volunteers more so that I can do more things and do more good and have more events nationwide and hopefully globally at some point too.
Yeah, no, I think it's really great and really important work. Everybody's path into substance abuse and hopefully sobriety is different, but I definitely think there's a fairly high concentration in cybersecurity for whatever reason. And just knowing that there's options and there's other people in your shoes, I think can really help people feel like community, right? I can't remember. I don't think it was Gabor Mate, but somebody I was reading said the cure for addiction is community. And I think that really struck a chord with me. I think that's definitely...
Oh, I think it's Johann Hari.
There you go. Yeah.
Johann Hari. I actually have that quote, I think, listed somewhere on the website. The opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. And that really, really resonated with me, because I think for a lot of folks, having, knowing that other people have your back and kind of understand a bit about what you've been through because they've been in a similar position is so powerful. Like no matter, you know, what type of community you're joining, it's really, really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Life's crazy.
Yes.
Okay. I had a goal of not reading the news today. That was like the thing woke up with. I was like, your goal today is to not read the news.
But no, just stay happy. Everything's great. I did want to bring up really quick before I forget, because I think this will publish here pretty quickly. Our next big event is going to be during the RSA conference. We're going to have a big Rock and Mocktails event. So that's going to be on Monday, right after the RSA's networking event wraps up. We'll have that on Monday evening. So there'll be mocktails, food. I'm going to have a temporary tattoo artist come there too. It's going to be pretty fun. It's going to rock. So.
That sounds awesome. And I'm actually going again this year. I was going to try and get out of it because for the reasons you mentioned early, I find it's like very disruptive to the consistent pattern of existence that I thrive in.
Yeah. Routine.
Yeah, but there's things that need to be done, and I'm happy to go down there and make those connections and try and grow our business and stuff, but it'll be lovely to come see you guys on Monday.
Yes, yeah, we're having it a little bit earlier this year. I had it, I think, on Wednesday. It was either Wednesday or Thursday last year during RSA, and it ended up conflicting with the party that Deadmau5 was at, and I'm like, okay. So I wanted to have it a little bit earlier so that people have a chance to, like, meet other folks and make those connections early on if they do want to have, a sober buddy to connect with throughout the conference.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so... now I'm going to ask you the one that I ask of everybody on the show. It can be as wide or as narrow as you want. Do you have any predictions for the future of cybersecurity?
I love that question.
And I do have to apologize because I didn't put this one in the show notes, so I'm surprising you with it right now.
You didn't, but I have listened to your podcast before, so I think deep down I kind of knew that. I am going to focus on the area of cybersecurity where I work, which is in cybersecurity marketing. There has been such a prevalence of AI-generated content in, you know, in our ever-evolving digital world. It is everywhere, and I feel like the things that you can do that show that you are a human, bumpy, rough around the edges, imperfect human, I think those are the things that are going to help you stand out, because so much of our content, so much of our visuals are starting to just feel like milquetoast. It's starting to feel like the same as everything else. And so being able to express your genuine voice as a founder, as a business, is going to be even more important than ever, because in this sea of sameness, even if you have some typos or grammatical errors, something that shows like, this is me, I'm a human, this is my passion, this is my voice, is really going to help you to stand out. So that's kind of what I predict, is that all of that sameness is going to become an annoyance. And we're going to be seeking out, our human eyes are going to be seeking out the things that we can tell are more human. And hopefully AI doesn't get to the point where it can even mimic that, because if so, we're all screwed.
Yes. As you were saying that, my brain automatically went, okay, I can see all these people changing their prompts to include like grammar mistakes. And
right, a little typo. Oh, I'm sure that's probably already happened. But I feel like we can kind of sniff those out for the most part.
The
like,
uncanny valley still exists. I don't know if it will forever, yes, but I think we still have it. Yeah,
it definitely does for now. Thank goodness.
Oh, man, I'm not going to read the news today.
don't do it, Chris. Don't.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your afternoon to come chat with me. The podcast is one of my favorite things to do now, and I feel like this is an important conversation. I'm glad we get to put it in front of people so they can get the information and also maybe think about their relationship with alcohol. And just, you know, again, a highly functional individual that seems to check all the boxes, but I sometimes look at the way I use alcohol and really question whether that's a healthy thing I need in my life. But then when I try and stop, it's not so easy because of all the reasons we discussed. So, yeah.
It's definitely challenging. I think talking about our struggles is so important, because then, especially for someone like me who's been sober for a really long time, I have a lot of sober years under my belt. And so, you know, especially folks early on in their recovery, they just assume that, not to burst anybody's bubbles, but they assume that it's, you know, like, it does definitely get easier because you start to build up like this toolkit of resources and things that I can apply, and I start to know myself better. But there are still times that are struggling. And when that happens, the first thing that I do is talk about it and share that with people, because the silence is the thing that is a killer. When you stop talking about it and you just suppress that communication, then it doesn't give anybody the ability to be able to help you if they don't know that you're struggling.
Yeah. Community.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me on this you know, like, technical podcast talking about sort of a non-technical issue, but it definitely affects what we do in our careers and our personal lives for sure. So, and it's just always fun getting to chat with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jen. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes this episode of the Cybersecurity Defenders podcast. If you have any feedback or ideas for future topics, please send an email to defenders@limacharlie.io. You can access the intel we talk about on the show in real time and join the conversation on the Lima Charlie Community Slack channel at slack.limacharlie.io. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider sharing it with someone or leaving a rating or review. And don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening from. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you on the next episode.